Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon. I got Kyle with me, and we are welcoming back someone who's been on the last episode of the year before.
A couple times, right?
Yeah. Is this the last episode of the year?
It is.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. So welcome back, Jeremy Yuan. Welcome back, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So unlike previous years, we kind of changed things up a little bit this year because we don't have any statistics for this year, which is okay. It's not Jeremy's fault. We didn't even warn him about that. But
I got asked like 72 hours ago if
72,
I wanted to.
That's a big
if I
lead.
Wanted to be here. So.
So we didn't give him that much time to do research and anything, but that's okay because this year was a little bit of a different year anyway with Brett taking a step back. And so, you know, he would be definitely the number one person on the podium if we go by old rules and stuff. But yeah, this year was a little bit different for 2025. But in the whole, 2025 was a big year for our church too. So mm-hmm. we had a lot of big things this year, including getting our new facility, having a retreat. There was a lot of tons of stuff that went on this year. So it's okay for this episode to be a little bit different than we've had in the past.
Yeah. So we'll have to maybe touch on a few of those. But are we going to keep our normal format of talking about the message from last week? Is that?
Yes, we will talk about okay. the message.
I didn't know where we were starting.
Oh, yeah. So this past Sunday, Pastor Barry is taking us through this season of Christmas. Actually, this year, December is pretty short in terms of the number of
Sundays before Christmas, yeah.
Yes, the number of Sundays before Christmas. So we had a multi-gen, we had one service, and then now Christmas service this coming Sunday.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there wasn't a lot of time on Sundays to, I guess, prepare for Christmas.
Build up. Yeah.
But we did. So Pastor Barry gave a sermon this past Sunday on timing and how Jesus fulfilled all of these different prophecies, and the timing of his birth was right on time. So I guess we could start there. So Kyle, I'll throw it to you.
Yeah. So I was in the back helping with kids that last Sunday, but I watched it actually on YouTube. When he started, I was like, okay, this is a different intro into a Christmas type of service, not what I was expecting. But then I liked how he tied it in at the end. But the prophecy thing, not wanting to wait,
Impatience.
Impatience, thank you. Well, I was thinking delayed gratification, I guess, but that's not the word I wanted. But yeah, impatience and just how it fits with our society right now. And so we have that probably to a much higher degree, but if you think back to all the stories in the Bible, the Israelites, they were impatient for a long time, and then they got, I think they didn't lose patience. They just lost hope after a certain point because it had been hundreds of years. And so then by the time Jesus actually came on the scene, it was kind of I don't know if that's going to even happen, but I'm pretty sure it didn't happen the way people expected. So in that sense, it kind of was overlooked unless you were really paying attention. So yeah, the whole waiting impatience thing, I thought that was a good way for people to really sit in the season of am I being impatient? Am I wanting things to happen now? And how does God want me to sit with things?
Yeah, so he had that little comedian clip in the beginning. and when he played that, I glanced over at my wife. And then I also glanced over at my mother-in-law because...
So that was the Amazon.
Yeah,
thing, right?
The Amazon shipping and how, you know, we're really spoiled these days, right? Because now even two-day shipping seems kind of long.
I know, they have you'll get it in 3 hours.
Yeah, same day shipping.
Yeah, by 10 a.m. even. And I just think back, right, however many years ago when you'd order something online and then... you'd wait maybe 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks shipping and handling. And, mm-hmm. and now I need it in 2 days or less.
Right.
So that was funny. And then, I think the engineering side of me, right. For when, when Pastor Barry was listing all the different prophecies and then all the verses of when it came true, that tickled my brain. I enjoyed that. I enjoy those kinds of, right, like, it's like, what is it, like, empirical evidence or where you, like, this is what they said, and then this is when it happened, and so I enjoyed that.
Well, what do you enjoy about that? Like, what, it just brings that much more conviction, or it brings, like awe, or?
Yeah, a lot of awe, because it's like, yes, the Bible said it here, and then the Bible proved it here.
Yeah, it was interesting. So I was running around on Sunday, so I wasn't in service either. So I was listening to it in the car with my kids, and when Pastor Bear was going through all of the different prophecies, one of my children, I won't say which one, but one of them said, wow, the Bible said all of this stuff and it all came true? Like, how did all that happen? It's like, well, that's because God is God.
Yeah. No, it is. I'm similar to you, Jeremy, like hearing all that stuff. And I guess sometimes you hear it and it loses its impact until you hear it again, especially when you hear it like in that, the way he presented those eight, just those eight that he listed, like the 10 to the 17th power or something like that, odds of it happening by one person in a conservative like calculation. I was like, oh my gosh, that's just, it's mind bending. That's only eight of them. And there's like so many prophecies that he fulfilled. So all of that stuff is really, well, I guess part of it for me is the prophet side, the prophecy, like they're giving these things, not even knowing what they're talking about. And it might seem like, I think some of those prophecies had like twofold things. Like they happen for a short term, like for Israel, but it also had like a tie-in with the Messiah. So they could see an impact in their lifetime, but yet they didn't even know that it was also fulfilling something like hundreds of years later.
Yeah, if those things tickle your mind, then you guys should be excited for what's coming next year, because Cameron is leading a team to have a VBS next year during the summer. And so our kids will be going through a curriculum called Cold Case Christianity, which is an apologetics course by a cold case detective. So he goes through all of this empirical evidence to say why Christianity is real and why the things that we believe are true. And he goes through all this different evidence from the perspective of a cold case detective trying to put the evidence together to point towards why Christianity is true. And it's interesting because the person that created that, he was actually trying to disprove Christianity, and through the evidence, he became a Christian. So if those things tickle your mind, you should be excited for next year, because the kids will be going through it in VBS, and I'm sure they'll want to talk about it with the parents.
I'm sure they will. I'm actually part of that. I'm part of Cam's team.
Yeah.
So it looks exciting. It should be fun.
And they're actually giving a preview of that tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'll be involved.
Okay,
with that.
So we're recording on Thursday. We're recording on Thursday, and there's going to be a preview at Parents Night Out for the kids, which is going to be on Friday night. And so if your kids are coming, it's going to be an exciting time for them too.
Yep. Yeah. No, it'll be fun. We're going to do some cool detective type work. So.
Okay. So since I said that I wasn't in service, I was listening to it in the car. I'm going to share something that when I first started playing it, Pastor Barry was kind of quiet at the beginning, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, what is wrong? Did they mess up the recording?
I did the
same
thing.
Watching.
I did the same thing.
Did they mess up the recording? How come it's not playing? And then I'd skip ahead, and I was like, okay, there's audio there. So what happened? And then I rewound, started it over from the beginning when it was quiet. And then he said, and when he started talking about, oh, it's really hard to wait, I was like, oh, he did that on purpose. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, that was kind of hard to wait, because we're so used to everything always being now. So even on a podcast like this, like if there's dead space, people are like, what happened? Did something, did you break something? And that's kind of what my initial reaction was when he did that. Not being in service and not seeing him standing up there and not saying anything, I was just like, what happened? Did someone mess up? Did we forget to send the audio to the video, to the recording? Uh-oh, I'm responsible for that, so is that on me?
No, I thought that was really good, because I did the same thing. So I'm sure, were you in there live, Jeremy?
Yeah, it was kind of uncomfortable because he just stood there.
Were you seeing people like look around like, is somebody going to fix this? Or?
Well, I mean, he just stood there and he just looked out at us. And so I thought one of us might be in trouble. But yeah, I guess his silence, you both proved his point.
Yeah.
Right. In fast, trying to fast forward.
And yeah. Yeah. I thought it was, it hits home because like you said, we're so used to everything happening and like the Amazon comedian thing, the Amazon Now. Right.
Yeah.
And I thought the way he tied it in with like, even AI, like, well, why can't we just get AI to know what we want and Amazon before I even know I want it? And like, it's going to show up. And I'm like, you know what? It's funny coming from a comedian, but it's the sad part is like you see parts of that creeping into the way people behave. And well, why can't we? Why wouldn't we? Why shouldn't we? And then you start blurring into some of those lines. And I thought even all of that, like, it's like, it's a good way to enter into the Christmas, the heart of the Christmas season, to be like, okay, all that stuff's out there. And some of it may be a little worse than others as far as where it takes us, but some of it's just flat out just distraction. And so it's a good reminder of, okay, just because we can and just because we are hyper efficient, it puts a barrier between us and God too. He was just nodding along and like, yeah. But Damon pointed to Jeremy like he had something. He was just being a good listener. Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for listening to me. Well,
you're welcome.
I thought he was just trying to extend our moment of silence just to see if the listeners would feel and experience what we were talking about just now.
Well played, Jeremy. Well played.
But yeah, I mean, generally for a lot of people, the Christmas season is hustle and bustle, busy time. You know, go to a store and it's crazy. I mean, going to Costco like on my regular shopping is not fun during Christmas season because it's just so crowded and everyone's in a hurry and everyone's trying to get as much stuff as they can in their cart and can't move. And you know, it's easy to associate that feeling with Christmas time, right? And I think that's part of what Pastor Barry was trying to do at the beginning, was to say kind of like an expect the unexpected, you know, like there's expectations that we have of what Christmas is. And, but is that really what God's intent is for Christmas and during this season? And the reason that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, is it so that we just get more of what we expect? Or is it that there's something unexpected that he has in store for us? Mm. And maybe that's why we wrap our gifts is, you know, there's an unexpected, you know, present that the Lord has for us, that he doesn't want us just to keep going with what's expected.
Okay, I like that. I was just going to tie in a little bit on the kids' side. What we talked about, the prophecy from Isaiah, which called out Jesus as the Messiah, as Emmanuel, God with us. And I thought the lesson was really good. It made me just kind of pause and think, oh yeah, like I know Emmanuel means God with us, and I know that's a title for Jesus, but how often do I actually just sit and recognize like, oh wow, the God of the universe is with me? Like, so even thinking to the first Christmas, like I guess we're in a special season where we have the Holy Spirit, and it's a little different, but just thinking to just Jesus is 30 years on earth, 30 plus years, like, wow, they had God with them in the flesh. I'm like, wow, that's really special. So I thought it was a good reminder for a kid's lesson. It hit me like, oh yeah, sometimes I lose the impact of just those simple things of remembering the titles of Jesus, and they all mean something different.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons that for this year's family Christmas gift, Steph decided that she wanted to create different cards for the families to go through each day, kind of along the lines of like the 12 days of Christmas, but it's 12 different names of Jesus. so that we can just reflect on who Jesus actually is. Because I think a lot of times, you know, the world will portray Jesus in a certain way, or we'll get all these different voices about who Jesus is. But what she really wanted to do was to have us spend time and focus on what the Bible says, who Jesus is, and the different names that the Bible gives for him, like Emmanuel, you know, Prince of Peace, King of Kings, Light of the World, these different ways that the Bible portrays who Jesus is and tells us who he is, so that we're, you know, our picture of Jesus is in alignment with the truth. And so, you know, this is a season where we can sit and reflect on, you know, who Jesus actually is, and not just, you know, one of the things that comes to mind is this old movie called Dogma. Did you guys ever see that movie? It's an old movie called Dogma. It's a parody movie. It's supposed to be funny, but their imagery of Jesus is kind of Jesus with like a big old smile on his face and like two thumbs up, like, right? And like, that's the image that they're trying to portray of who Jesus is. And it's like, is that really who Jesus is? And so I really appreciate her heart to want to help our people and our families. And, you know, we threw it out there too to the whole congregation if they wanted to participate as well. But just to be able to take this season to reflect on who Jesus really is and who does the Bible say he is.
So I didn't sign up for an extra copy. I probably should have. I didn't think about it really. But you guys both got them because you have kids in children's ministry, right? So have you guys been going through them? Have you had any, like, interesting discussions or insights from your kids or even from you?
Larissa has. non-participatory. But I'm sure the kids have had insights.
Okay, so that's your homework now to go home. Hey, so far, like, what's the most impactful name of God? And then I want to do it with you guys. Don't leave me out.
Another 12 days with Dad.
But I think that's one of the things that's cool about this, the way that Steph set it up, right? So she gave a frame with the cards, and you can just swap out the cards, is that it doesn't just, it's not, you know,
just
fully
Christmas
themed. It's not like there's Christmas trees in the background. Mm-hmm. It's not like, it's something that can be out all year long. And so, okay.
Okay, so
full disclosure,
maybe I am going to ask for one now, like, for this coming year.
Full disclosure, okay. I haven't actually sat down with our kids to do it. But it's cool because, you know, we have it, the frame set out right next to the door. So every time we go by the door, they're like, oh yeah, we need to remember to do that. So they're the ones that are kind of saying we need to do it. And, you know, it is a busy season. So a lot of times we end up, you know, right now it's hard for us to even sit down and have a meal together sometimes, just with all the different activities and sports and all these things going on. But I think that's one of the things that I appreciate about it, is that we don't have to limit this to just Christmas time. Yeah. Right. And so it's something that throughout the year that we'll have available to us to just to reflect on, to remember, and to be able to do together as a family.
Carry it forward, right?
Yeah. And so, you know, where sometimes, you know, when churches give out Christmas gifts, it's only related to Christmas. And if you don't do it during the Christmas season, then, you know, it's kind of done.
All right, I want one. I'm gonna ask Steph. I need one.
Good, because we printed some extra ones that weren't claimed. So you can have one on Sunday.
Get one.
So if that's you too, we do have a few extras that have been unclaimed.
Because that was actually part of my thinking. I'm like, well, I mean, our kids are a little bit older, so it's like it's not as Christmassy. And so I'm like, but no, as you're describing it, I'm like, oh yeah, actually, I would want that just out, so we could even rotate it weekly or even monthly if you wanted to. But oh yeah, no, that sounds good.
Yeah, and on each card too, it has a verse that relates to the name of Jesus, but then it also has a challenge. So like for the first day, which is Emmanuel, right? It's talks about Emmanuel, talks about God being with us, and that's who Jesus is. He was God coming to earth to be with us. But then kind of part of the challenge is to seek the Lord and ask him, how do you see me? Right. And so with each of the cards there, and that has nothing to do with Christmas too, right? It's like, you don't have to wait till Christmas to ask God how you see me. But that could be something that if we, you know, do that multiple times throughout the year, that could really make an impact and transform our lives too. And just remember that, you know, God in Jesus coming to be with us helps us to know how valuable we are to him. And, you know, how would that change who we are or how we interact with the world, knowing our real value?
Mm. All right. I think Jeremy needs a direct question. So
I'm ready.
I don't have it yet. I'm just like, I just feel like we're talking too much. Like you're our guest. We want to know what's going on inside you. But you have pretty young kids. So what's it like around your house Christmas time? And is it chaotic? Is it very festive? Is it just trying to make it through? Do you do a good job of like remembering the value of what Christmas is and stuff like that? Because I remember when our kids were young, I'm trying to give you some time to think. When our kids were young, I think we tried to do a good job with the messaging, but when they're young, there's the fun aspect. And so that part is easy to maybe overemphasize, that just the celebration, the presents and all that, which is good. But trying to find the balance of still remembering the reason of the season. And we were intentional about it, but now looking like our kids are older, it's not as the, oh, it's Christmas morning, I can't wait. You know, it's a little different. And so I think we can message it a little easier or stay focused a little easier. But yeah, I'm just curious with where you're at, because we have other parents with kids your age that listen, so.
So my kids are pretty young. The house is decorated. I put up our Christmas lights November 1st.
What?
Wow. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. And I think I put them up, and then Larissa was like, why'd you put them up so early? and then she reminded me, I think like 2 years ago, I didn't put them up at all. Oh. She got really mad at me.
So you were scarred.
Yeah,
so
yeah. So it's like...
I notice and I prefer. Yeah, so, emotionally healthy language.
A response to that was to put it up right after Halloween. I think it's we're probably leaning more on the festive side. Mm-hmm. Like the kids are waking up and they're like, I want to punch open the little thing on my advent calendar and see what I got. But we probably should. Focus more on the real reason of the season. Mm. But yeah, for now it's like we have the Christmas tree up, there's lights everywhere. That's how it is at our house. Mm-hmm. I had something else to say, I don't remember.
How about for you personally? Like what's Christmas like these days?
It's very chaotic. We have two girls in school. Mm-hmm. And it seems like every other day it's like, oh, you have to have come, you know, it's pajama day or crazy hair day. And they choose the end of the year, the end of the calendar year to stuff all those things and make the parents have to, you know, like they're not going to do it. We have to guide them to do it. And so the end of the year is chaotic. Thankfully, the end of the year, I have off typically. Mm-hmm. And so I'm there to help and to, you know, get them ready for school or whatever. But yeah, more chaos than peace. I was talking to my middle daughter, the other day, and she's like, Dad, it's been such a long year. Mm. And I was thinking about it and I said, well, Nick, for me, it seemed like the year just kind of whizzed by. Mm-hmm. And then we had an in-depth conversation about how, because I'm 40, a year doesn't seem that long because I've had 40 of them. Mm. But for her, this is, you know, going into her seventh year. So a year of her life seems, by comparison, seems pretty long.
Did she share why it felt so long? Like, did you guys just do a lot of stuff or things?
I think she there were a lot of things that were done this year and she had the opportunity to do a lot of things and experience a lot of new things in the school year, being in first grade. But yeah, we often have, her and I have in-depth, like, introspective conversations.
Nice.
Like time and space and stuff like planets and how far the sun is, where's the nearest planet, stuff like that. It's
wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then I'm like, some of these things I don't know. So I have to pull out my phone and get information. But yeah.
Now that's, I liked how you just shared that last little bit, because I think sometimes that when we do get older and life is busy, even when you have family or career, and things just fly by and we lose track, not lose track of time, but there's a lot of things just become normal and become routine, and it makes things just go. It gets faster and faster as your kids get older.
Yeah.
So, but that's a good reminder too of like, we need to be like children, right? Like to remember, like we did a lot. We had all these different moments. Mm-hmm. We had all this, like, it felt like a long year, where in the routine of life, it feels like, oh man, life just flew right by. So no, that's a good reminder.
Yeah. Cause I remember when I was young, right, you'd have summer break.
Oh yeah.
Or your year was kind of defined by when the school year started, mm-hmm. when it ended, and then you had a summer break, and then I started working and I was like, man,
adulting is hard.
Yeah, adulting is hard. I don't have a summer break anymore. I just go to work.
Should have been a teacher. Five days a
week. Right? It just never ends.
Yeah.
And then I guess at some point I just kind of just was resigned to the fact that this is just the daily grind. Mm. And then, like this year, I thought about it and, I just kind of blinked. Mm. And here we are in December.
Yeah.
Right? I was trying to think back to when I was back here on this podcast, right? And it seemed like, not too long ago, but at the same time, like, wow, it's been
a year.
Like a year. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's a good reminder, I think, for all of our listeners, too, of, life is busy. There's a lot we pack in. And I think I've been told this before, and I've seen it, that in Southern California especially, just because of the weather, like, we're go, go, go all the time. Like, in other parts of the country, you have to slow down because of weather and the ailments and different things, that there's pauses for severe storms or whatever, where you have to stop. And we generally don't have that. And so I think that's it's a blessing in some ways, but it definitely has a detriment over us emotionally and mentally. So for us SoCal people, we got to remember, we have to be even more intentional of, okay, we got to hit the pause button sometimes, not because we have to technically, but because we need to. So I think it's cool that you get to have some time off at the end of the year, that you kind of have that built in too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Definitely a blessing.
I mean, I think that plays into Christmas as well, because in Southern California it's cold, but it's not like a white Christmas or anything.
It's
not
so cold.
For us to be intentional about recognizing what season we're in, because a lot of times the seasons kind of blend together, because it's they're very similar, right? So it is colder, but I think it was last year or the year before, it was like 75-80 degrees on Christmas, and it's like, oh, this is like spring or fall or even early summertime feeling, but it's Christmas.
Right.
So I think, that's just a good reminder as well. Like, just in our circumstances, where we live, like, there needs to be some type of intentionality. And one of the things that I've noticed this year is, like, I don't feel like there's as much Christmas music playing, at least maybe on the radio stations that I've been listening to, but there hasn't been as much Christmas music. It's just kind of more normal. So it's like, does it really feel like Christmas? I haven't heard the hippo song once this year yet.
Oh, thank goodness. All right. I am going to have to step out for the rest of the podcast. I got an appointment to get to, but Jeremy, thanks for coming on. Thanks for letting me ask you some questions too. I know as soon as I asked, I see the face like, oh no, what's coming?
Thanks,
yeah,
Kyle.
I'll let you and Damon wrap it up.
Sure.
But I'm looking forward to next week. I think I want to be more intentional about just slowing down a little bit and reflecting. And I think for me, the just like I said, the kids lesson last week of Emmanuel, okay, that's the one I need for this year. Like, just remember, God is with us. He's with us the whole year, but it's like this time of celebrating his birth, it's like, well, but he came to be with us in human flesh. Like, that's something special. So, all right. Well, to all our listeners, Merry Christmas, since I won't be able to say it at the end. So, all right, signing off.
All right, thanks, Kyle. Okay, so Jeremy, kind of continuing on that theme of Emmanuel, is there something specific or an experience that you've had specific that has made you experience like what that is, like God being with you? Is there something that you can share with our listeners that will help them to see kind of in your lifetime or your experience of God being with you?
My experience? My lifetime?
Or recently? Like something where you're like, wow, I really felt like God was close to me and he was with me.
Let me think. Okay. Well, I have a starting point.
Okay.
But I don't know if it'll answer your question.
It's okay.
Okay. So, this past year I turned 40, and then I think this is the first time that I feel like my body has started failing me.
I know how that is.
I think I woke up one day in September and I had gout. And I think about it and, you know, it was like the day before I had like a ham sandwich. Mm. And that was, I guess that was the tipping point. Mm. I don't know. And it was like a terrible pain, and I didn't have time. Like, you know, we're so busy, busy, busy. I didn't have time to go make an appointment and go to a doctor. Mm-hmm. So I went on Amazon Telehealth. Did you know they have that?
I did not know they have that.
Yeah, Amazon Telehealth.
So they do everything. They ship it to you in 3 hours, and you can also call them for health appointment.
Yeah, so I went on telehealth and I had to lie about how I had gout medication before so that they would give me gout medication.
But you knew what it was.
Yeah, I was like 95% sure. It was, you know, it was my big toe and it was terrible pain. Yeah, so then that happened. That was right before we were supposed to go to Japan. And then so I went to Japan with like post-gout, and I don't think I was fully, you know, recovered. And so I was walking like 25,000 steps a day on on a bad foot. And then on top of that, we flew in and I realized everyone sounded off. Everyone sounded like they were on helium or like I was listening to them in fast forward, right? I was like, what is going on? I was like trying to wash out my ears and all this, and it was like I couldn't hear anymore. Like Larissa would talk to me behind my back and I wouldn't be able to hear. It was like, oh, what is going on? Like I can usually get off a plane, pop my ears, and I should be okay. And then I tried washing my ears out, nothing would work. And then we were there the whole time in Japan, so like almost 2 weeks, and then coming back probably 2 weeks past that, so maybe a whole month, my hearing was off.
Wow.
And I was actually like talking to my kids when I first came back, it sounded like two different tones. Like they sounded like robots. I was like, what is going on? Do I have a tumor in my brain? Okay, here we go. And then so there was this moment, there was this month out of this year in 2025 where I literally could not hear as much, right? And so I spent a lot of that time with God, listening to someone that I could hear, listening to God. Because at the time we were going through, for our small group, we were going through Kyle and Mimo's emotionally healthy relationships, and part of the exercise was to have moments of silence. So prior to that, prior to my non-hearing episode, the moment of silence, like I would try to be quiet, but then you'd hear a lot of things in the outside, like, you know, sirens, cars driving by, da 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 da, this and that. But for that month, you know, I'd close my eyes and be quiet, and I could, you know, hear nothing. Mm-hmm. Like you just hear like the sound of silence. And then so it was a lot easier or it was like a different experience. Mm-hmm. And then having that and to be able to focus more on what God was trying to talk to me, tell me. Mm-hmm. That was interesting to be in that kind of position, and then to, from that, draw a little closer to God. Mm. Yeah. Side tangent. Have you ever heard of a sensory deprivation chamber?
I've heard of it. I've never been in one, but I've heard of it. And I've heard some of the, like, NBA players use it to...
Do they?
Yeah. They use it to try to, I don't know what it does, help them focus or something.
Oh, okay. Cool. So you've heard of it. So I talked to Pastor Barry about it. Because after that, I was like, oh, I want to, like, take this sensory deprivation further, right? I want to try, like, just, you know, going into a sensory deprivation chamber. So I looked it up, and because he's interested, too. I looked it up, and because we live in Southern California, the experience is not called a sensory deprivation chamber. They call it float therapy. Because, you know, Southern California, so I found a place, Newport Beach or Costa Mesa, and it's like, I think it's like $30 for an hour. So I'm going to try to do
$30 an hour doesn't sound that expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, if you think like, oh, if you were to go and get like a massage or something, that's like $60, $80.
At least.
Yeah. These days, right? Well, I guess nobody's like, you're just sitting in a pool of salt water. But yeah, so for $30, I'm going to try it. I'm going to go in there and turn off all the lights and then, you know, see. They advertise it as like, oh, it's a night's worth of rest in 60 minutes, right? You're supposed to feel way more relaxed coming out. But I would like to, you know, kind of parlay my experience. And then, right, like you take away all the hearing, you take away all the visuals, and then kind of like convene with God in that little pod of salt water.
Maybe Pastor Bay will include that as in his next round of hearing God's class, because then say, okay, here's an exercise. We're all going to go to this location and do our float therapy together.
So we're going to,
okay, maybe not together, but, but we'll do our float therapy and see if this enhances our ability to hear the Lord.
Yeah. I'm excited. Unfortunately, I looked at like the Yelp listings and stuff, and it looks like they might only have one pod. So, because I wanted to go like with Pastor Barry and do it at the same time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, come out and see, you know, talk about what happened. But yeah, it might just be one at a time. But I'm for sure going to do it. Mm. I'll tell you how it is.
I mean, I really do think you answered the question though, because, right? Like, this through this experience, and it's interesting too in terms of kind of to fall back on this past Sunday's message about timing, right? Just the timing of how everything played out. But really what the intent was that, you know, you have this experience with the Lord, and that experience with the Lord actually like kind of heightened your hunger, and you want more, and you want that again, right? Like, even to the point where you're doing research to find a place where you can recreate that experience that originally was kind of like, this is weird, there's something wrong. But then it's like, oh no, this was actually good. And you want to recreate that experience and kind of take it even further. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that really it's kind of a picture of what it looks like to be in relationship with the living Christ, is that, you know, when we get the real experience of him, it kind of leaves us wanting more.
Yeah. That's a cool way of looking at it. Thanks, Damon.
So I do feel like, you know, as much as you said you didn't think that you're going to answer the question. I think that is a really good picture, and it might be something that could inspire other people, Mimo, to do something like that. Because, you know, I do feel like that kind of fits into her, not deprivation, but it's more like kind of leaning into the abstinence, right? It's like abstaining from all of the sensory.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I actually talked to her about that. Mm. Like, if she wanted to do it too. And she said, I think she said me first. Yeah, so.
But yes, I have heard that there are NBA players that do it for a different reason, but they do it. I've heard like Steph Curry does it.
Oh, yeah.
Klay Thompson, I think, does it. Okay. So there have been very focused NBA players that have done it. Oh. And they said that it helps to increase their focus. Right, which it makes sense because yeah. I think sometimes yeah. we are so accustomed to so many things going on at the same time and multitasking and all those things that it's hard to focus, right? Yeah. And so by taking away all of the extra sensory stuff that's going on, it's easier for us to kind of keep our focus.
Yeah, and even, I don't know about you, but even just to have like an hour out of the day to kind of even do that, right? Mm-hmm. Just to focus to, yeah, being a dark pod and focus.
Yeah, so I mean, I think for me personally, that's where, you know, I've shared on the podcast too, like a lot of my time with the Lord is when I run. Mm-hmm. But I have noticed, so my schedule this year has changed a lot, and I'm finding that I'm running at different times of the day than I normally would. And, you know, kind of before I would run before the crack of dawn, so it would be really dark and most people are sleeping. And it's a different experience when you're running on the street and there's no cars, it's all quiet, it's dark, you know? So it is kind of like that sensory deprivation feeling because, yeah, it's very different than running like in the middle of the day when there's cars and there's birds and there's construction and there's all kinds of stuff going on. It's just a very different experience.
Which do you prefer?
I prefer the running before the crack of dawn, but at the same time, I also prefer sleeping. So it's hard to kind of balance that because I do feel like there are times where, like, just physically, like, oh, I need to make sure that I'm getting enough sleep. Mm. But then at the same time, there's the other side. It's like, but I'm also not getting fed in the same way that I was before. So there's kind of like that tension that's there. But I do feel like there are a lot of the times when I have had that time where it's just like peaceful and dark, like it's like, oh, it is a lot easier to hear the Lord's voice. Mm. All right. So Jeremy, it is the end of the year. Why don't you share a highlight of 2025? And it could be a church highlight. It could just be a personal highlight, but what's something that you feel like has been a highlight for you in 2025 that you'd like to share with all the listeners out there as we wrap up this episode and as we wrap up this year on Engage to Flourish?
I think my highlight for 2025, Larissa and I, we got to travel a lot, this year, more than we usually do. And we got to travel, without the kids. So it gave us, the two of us, a lot of time to spend with just each other. Mm. And that was a blessing to be able to write whereas the day-to-day is very noisy, mm-hmm. right, with this and that, to be able to travel and take vacations with just Larissa was nice to strengthen our relationship. But also, I think there was a time like when we were getting ready to come back from Japan, and I was ready. I told her I was ready to come back because I miss the kids. Mm. And yeah, I think for this year, my highlight with the kids was I wanted to be intentional with them about saying yes whenever they wanted to play, because I realized that that's not going to be forever. Mm. They're not always going to want to play with dad. I think the time is coming sooner than I think, than I'm thinking about, that they're just going to want to, like, be with themselves or whatever, like, you know, play with their, talk with their friends or, you know, so this year I was more intentional about saying yes to whenever they wanted to play, and then really just kind of, I think I shared about this a little bit briefly for Father's Day, right? But just I think tapping into the creative and really just kind of improvising some ridiculous scenario to play with them, and I'm glad, and I think I'm blessed that they always find it fun. My highlight is just the time I've been able to spend with Larissa, also the time we've been able to spend as a family.
Yeah, I think it's cool that you shared that, because you did share that before about the super creative playtime. I don't remember. I feel like you had a specific name for it, but that wasn't just something to share for a special holiday, but it's something that you've been trying to do for the whole year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and trying to recognize that, right, our kids don't stay young for forever, and they don't always want to play. They're not always going to want to play, but trying to take advantage of that and being intentional with that. And, you know, with the time that you've been able to spend with Larissa, I think that's been something that's been on Emily's heart, is recognizing that there are a lot of parents that don't get a lot of time to, you know, have time to themselves where it's not consumed by kids. Yeah. And so that's one of the reasons that for tomorrow night, they're going to have this parents' night out, is just to give some time to take the kids away and be able to give the parents some time to have to connect, to not worry about what are the kids doing, because the kids are going to be learning. They're going to be learning about Jesus, right? And I think that's one of the reasons that she wanted to do that with her team. And I think that's going to be something that potentially could happen again in the future, just to, you know, recognize that, you know, healthy marriages lead to healthy families and healthy relationships with the kids. So to be able to strengthen that and to strengthen those marriages, it's going to be, you know, important for our church family too.
Yeah. I saw this, this Instagram post, a while ago, and it was like, you know, all these books, family books or whatever, parenting books, they talk about like the hacks, right? Like this hack for this hack. The greatest parenting hack is to have parents or in-laws that are willing to watch your children for you. So you can have a night out, even just a night out to have dinner or something. Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm excited for the families that signed up for tomorrow. So that they can, even if it's 2-3 hours to spend together and with each other.
Yeah. So shout out to Emily. Thanks for taking the lead on that, and just really using the ways that the Lord has shaped your heart for your family, and being able to extend that out for the other families at our church. I just really feel like the ways that you're stepping into this is going to really make an impact in the families and in our church as a whole. So shout out to Em. Thank you so much for taking the lead and stepping out in that way too. All right. So we're running up to the end of this episode. So Jeremy, is there any last words that you'd like to leave with our church family as we close up?
No, I think it's cool that you, Damon, are so faithfully running this podcast for our church congregation to listen to. I know that I myself haven't tapped in a long time, but I looked at, okay, I have a question. At least for Spotify, you only have like this year's podcasts. Do you like actively delete the previous years?
No, that's a feature of Spotify.
What?
And Apple, is that they take them down.
What?
So if you want to go back into the archive, they're on our website. They'll stay on our website for forever.
Man.
But yes, they do that because I think on their servers or something, they don't want to have like years and years and years worth of content.
Bummer.
So if that is an encouragement for you to keep listening, then
I have like, wait. When did they chop it?
I think it's 12 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so.
Oh man.
Okay, I think they leave up the last 12 months worth of content.
Okay, I gotta start listening in 2x now.
Yeah, so for anyone out there, if you want to go back to the archive, yeah, just check out our website, catalystchristiancommunity.org, and scroll to the podcast's link, and you'll find all of the archive. And we got, four full years of content?
Wow.
So,
4 years. Cool.
All right, well, thanks, Jeremy, for coming on. Thanks for sharing about your experiences with the Lord this year and helping us to prepare for Christmas and the time where we recognize that, Jesus, who is God, came to be with us as Emmanuel. So thanks again, Jeremy.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Looking forward to giving you a little bit more time next year to schedule your opportunity to come on the podcast and not just 72 hours. All right. We thank you, all you listeners out there. Thanks for another great year. We're looking forward to all that the Lord has in store for 2026. So for the last time in 2025, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.
Merry Christmas.